So the big question is this. How do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answer. All right, welcome everybody to the Sales Secrets Podcast. I'm excited to talk about models. We're going to be talking models today, rethinking the sales conversation. To do that, we brought on John Reed, who happens to be the president of JM Reed Group, and also the author of a cool book. We're going to dive into that today a little bit. It's called Moving from Models to Mindsets, as I said, kind of rethinking the sales conversations. It's different. We've done a lot of episodes, and when John and I were talking last week, as we did kind of a prep for this, I was like, this is different is good. And this certainly, I think, is kind of a different take on the way that we do training, coaching, et cetera. So, John, thanks for joining. And how the heck are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm pretty good. As John knows, I'm running a day late and a dollar short, but we continue forward. Anyways, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, John, and kind of JM Reed?
Okay, sure. My name is John Reed. I started out of college in industry. So I spent the first majority of my career in the chemical industry, which is unusual to be now in the train space. But yep. I spent time with Dow Chemical, FMC, a variety of chemical companies in sales, marketing, strategy roles. I left all that behind to join the train development industry, where I worked for a variety of firms. And I started my own firm 10 years ago with a couple of key principles. Okay. The three being context is king. So I believe when it comes to the learner, what they care about is this relevant to me? Does this person understand or this company understand my world? And so context, not content, is king. Secondly, there's wisdom in the room.
Yeah.
These people are smart. They got there. They got to the training class. They got well-dressed. They've been in sales for a number of years or leadership for a number of years. They're wise. And so how do we tap into that wisdom? Fundamentally, people remember what they say, not what you say.
Yeah, yeah.
And then lastly, and I just want a big piece of business on this, which is, if you think about it too long, you realize how shocking this is going to sound. But I won business against four competitors because I'm the only one who talked about design. Who talked about the design of the training and why it's engaging.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in 2019, people are selling training but not bothering to talk about design? Well, I can, because people fall in love with their model and think the model's the answer and don't pay much attention to design. You just need to listen to my great model and listen to me talk about my model and practice my model and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that's my company. That's my background. That's why I'm here.
Interesting. That's actually good, probably set up for the conversation. So maybe we should jump right in. Do you... I mean, that's one of the things, the debates. I mean, I feel like every trainer that's come to me has kind of pitched the, you know, this is the way we've done it, this is the way I've done it, and this is why you're going to be successful. And that's just kind of been the way it's always been. So I don't know if I've thought too much about it, because everybody truthfully does that. It was that kind of, you've explained the model experience a little bit, but can you double click on it? Why did you get into it, or why did this kind of aha moment come when you said it can't just be the model? We've got to go a little beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's come by naturally. Mm-hmm. And so as I was a learner growing up through the chemical industry, as I worked for other firms, I mean, these are well-intended people. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They're well-intended. And they really believe they have the answer. Now, once you believe you have the answer, you become a zealot. You become a preacher, right? But they believe they have the answer.
I do.
It's a little bit, it's analogous. And all companies can suffer from this. It's what I call the baby picture phenomenon.
Yeah.
If I show you my baby picture, I think it's beautiful.
Yep.
You would go, oh my God, what a large head that child has. The challenge in sales, the challenge in learning, is to make the baby picture the other person's baby picture.
Yeah,
to get out of your own way, to understand them.
Yeah.
But it's really hard once you believe you have the answer. And so that's what happens. They really honestly, truly believe that they have the answer. And then what happens too is, because I have the answer, I'm now smarter than you because you don't have the answer. So I get to talk more than you. So I get dopamine and I get to get high because the neurochemistry, you feel threatened a little bit. So you have the flight or fight chemistry going on. If you are middle to high performers, you're just mystified by this whole dance because you're like, well, I don't do that. Right. I'm successful. And, you know, and then you're told, listen, it gets worse, right? I mean, high performers are told, yeah, but could you please come to the training and help the low performers? Rather than saying, hey, high performer, there's stuff here you're going to learn.
Yeah.
You know, you may not be as good as you think. There's some good stuff here. So it's all built upon this house of cards. One last thing. Can I say one last
please,
thing?
No, please. I think
I know I talk New Jersey fast. But the other thing that's very American, and maybe it's global, but there is this just false thinking around if you write a book, you can do training. I mean, it just mystifies me. It's a very American phenomenon. Simon Sinek writes a book. Table Group writes a book. Challenger writes a book. You know, they got a book. Well, they got to have a training company. But writing a book, I can tell you, after having a training company for 10 years, is a lot different than designing and delivering great training. The two are kind of unrelated. But we in America, for some bizarre unknown reason, act like they are. Hmm. And we act like they are, of course, because the industry's convinced us that the latest, greatest answers in the book and they can teach your people it. But there's no correlation between a book and learning.
I love it.
When it comes to learning and educating adults, if you will.
Yeah. Can you, I don't want to go too far down this path, but why do you say that? I mean, because you're right. I mean, the natural American is kind of like, hey, he's got a book. I need to now watch his training course, or I need to have him come speak to me about why he's the guru and stuff. Why isn't that kind of one in the same?
In fact, they're not even close to one in the same. It all gets around to adult learning principles, what we know about how adults learn. Hmm. So we know, for example, that movement matters, that if you can get them to move, well, you're reading a book or sitting in a class, you're not moving. So how do we incorporate movement? There's a lot of cool ways to get people to move. Mm-hmm. How do we get them talking, not the facilitator talking? That's powerful. How do we make it challenging?
There's the discomfort zone,
right? The learning zone. How do you make that safe? How do we do self-discovery? I mean, you know, we cover topics like trust, relationship building, accountability. I can get a room of 100 sales reps in a room and say, you know, who here is trustworthy? All 100 hands go up. Who here is accountable? All 100 hands go up. Who here is good at building a relationship? All 100 hands go up. Hmm. So how are you going to teach this? Yeah. Right? You're going to talk at people? People aren't going to listen to something. I'm going to listen halfway, but they'll think it's for the person next to them.
You're right. I mean, that's kind of the assumption that because you can do one thing, you know, you're really good at doing another thing. And they're pretty different tasks, like being a good, you know, adult learning trainer versus, you know, being able to write down, you know, coherent, relevant concepts. Okay. Point taken. I'll agree to that. I'll agree to that. Probably don't need to go further.
Gabe, I absolutely empathize and get. I mean, I just wrote a book, so I think it's the answer, right? I mean, I get the seductiveness to the effort writes a book and says, okay, everybody needs to know this, but they don't need to know it the way that they're doing it, right? They need to self discover it, which is where adult learning comes in, where most of them don't have that. They don't think that way.
I like that. So we kind of set the foundation here a little bit, and I want to go now into if models aren't the answer, you know, how do you guide around that? You know, if it's not all about just this concept, why do you do different? What is that?
Yeah, I think it's what I believe is the difference. It's called moving from models to mindsets. You know, our mindsets, our beliefs drive our attitudes, drive our behaviors, right? However we feel, believe. If we believe we have lots of value, we're a better negotiator. If we believe that the customer is our friend and will get upset with us, then we're not a tough negotiator. Our beliefs drive every one of our behaviors. And that's the mindset part. So you got to get the mindset right. Models have a place. We teach models. I have models. Models are good.
Yep.
In order to coach around a model or look at a model and say, okay, how did you do against this model?
Right.
But if you're going to change behavior, you got to start with the belief system. Like I said, trustworthy, accountability, whatever these subjects are, assessing an opportunity, handling a call, you know, how much you talk, how much they talk. You know, that's all a belief system.
So
I believe, my belief system, for example, I'll give you one.
Yeah, give me go.
My belief system is that you want to out-understand the competitors. That's the driving belief of my business and my success in sales, that I want to out-understand them. Most of the salespeople we teach come in with a mindset of we need to out-persuade our competitors. Well, persuade has to do with talking. It's why they talk too much, right? The behaviors are talking too much. Well, why are they talking so much? Well, there's a belief behind that. And I would say that one of the beliefs could be that in talking, I can persuade you. I think you're persuaded when I seek to understand you.
Yeah.
That's a different mindset, a different place to start.
Got it. So at a high level, it is. It's a belief. You know, a model without a belief is nothing. So you've got to have a belief, and then making sure you have the right beliefs drives actual behaviors, and behaviors then drive results.
I'll give you one we teach, okay? Because every workshop we teach this is a sales coaching one. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
So we get up in front of the room, and your listeners can listen along. And I just say, what do you have to believe about people to coach them?
Okay.
That's the question. And there's three circles on the wall. So clearly there's three, right? So, you know, so people start yelling out things like, well, they're teachable. They want to learn.
Yeah.
They have knowledge. They have skills. They have this. They have that. I've been doing this for 10 years. They don't say the one critical belief you have to believe.
Yeah.
What's the one critical belief? I'll tell you what it is. You have to believe, drum roll, that the other person has insight that you don't have.
Mm.
That's the only thing that makes it coaching. That's what makes you ask questions. The reason most coaching is bad is the coaches think they know it all. But if their belief was, geez, I don't know it all, let me find out what Gabe was thinking. That's a coaching conversation. So Gabe, on that call, when the client said this, you made a choice here. Why did you make that choice? And if it's genuine, right? If it's not like I'm trying to manipulate you, but genuine positive sales coaching operates from a belief system that Gabe knows stuff I don't know. But most coaching programs, look at them. They don't go there. They don't talk about beliefs.
Yeah.
They get right into the model and they get right into the tactics.
Yeah.
But if your belief is that you know it all, that stuff just fails by its own weight.
Interesting. So, yeah, that was going to be my next question, but I think you kind of answered it in that then the typical pattern is to go right from models to actions, to tactics versus So you're not necessarily opposed to having a model, but there needs to be
models.
I think that was what we were debating before is you've got some models, but you have to have make sure you get the belief. The belief then leads to behaviors, and the behaviors kind of align with the tactics. Okay.
So the models need to support that belief and that model that you're trying to change. You know, it needs to come alongside of it. It's not the answer, but it supports it all, right?
Got it. I love that. So then you've already given us a couple tidbits, but I'd love to hear maybe one or two others. What are some of those things then? Maybe it'd be interesting maybe to hear for the audience, what are some of the beliefs that are the most prevalent that you feel like you've got to kind of bust down or change or really get in place to make whatever model you're using really effective?
Wow, that's a good question. there's the one I gave you, right?
The belief
is that I'm going to out-understand because that forces you to ask questions.
That's a big one. Yeah, that's probably is the number one. Is there a couple?
Better. Here's why it's so powerful. My son, who works for me in sales, he just closed a deal today. And in every presentation we do, the first slide, you know, we talked to this client, we did some discovery, and we say, okay, here's our current understanding. And we really work to get it right. We use their words, we use their terms, we maybe take a little risk, add some insight of our own in the current understanding, you know, if this, then probably that. And we start with, hey, let's talk about this. Do we have this right? What are we missing? What don't we know?
Yeah.
And what we're doing is by the time we get through that and they feel completely understood, they completely trust our solution.
Yeah.
Because their mindset, their belief system is anybody who understands me this deeply probably has the right solution.
Hmm.
Right, they couldn't possibly understand me to this level, which nobody's ever understood me to, and then have the solution all cockeyed. So it's just easier, right? It's an easier way. It's an easier sell than knowing they're having a sense of their beliefs and getting ready in your solution and being quizzed on your solution. We don't spend a lot of time having to explain our solution because we've demonstrated understanding. So that's one belief. Another belief I think that's core is that your time is valuable.
Yeah.
So you really have to have a belief that, you know, time is money. My time has value. Highly successful people, you know, qualify early, get opportunities qualified quickly, in or out. I mean, I give pricing early sometimes. you know, so I'll be talking to somebody, say, this is going to cost you like $40,000-$50,000. And they're like, oh, that's a lot more than we thought. Well, you know, then we probably shouldn't be talking. I mean, now you want to create value. There's this whole debate where you haven't created enough value yet to give a number. And so, but that, then you go down this long path. So if you have a sense, and if you get experience with this, you know, this, based on what I'm hearing, they've never used an outside vendor. They try to do it all themselves, but they've got major issues. I'm going to throw a number out. I'm not going to spend all this energy and give them a solution only to have them say 3 months from now, yeah, we don't spend that kind of money. I mean, so I mean, there's this art and science, right, which I talk about in the book. There's constant art to this. Mm-hmm. But again, one of the beliefs is my time is valuable.
I love the time. Yeah, I mean,
that's where things like – and this is not me. This is everybody knows about sales call objective. But, you know, we'll ask people in 2019, how do you know you've had a good call? And I get 1 out of 10 salesperson that might, you know, mumble something. Well, I hit my objective. Yeah. You know, 9 out of 10 are like, oh, they really liked me. It really went well. You know, they're not, but what are you talking about? You know, so that's low accountability behavior. Yeah, did you have an objective and did you hit it? That's right. Success,
right?
Or exceeded, right?
I like that. I like that. That does make a sense, especially the time thing. I think you change the way you do stuff when you have a belief that, you know, time is, well, you know, it's important.
Well, the old model of selling, the consultative model of selling is I go in, I ask you lots of questions. I ask you an enormous amount of questions. And then I summarize what I heard and then I position and it goes on like that. The challenger model, which I'm more close to, is this idea of, you know, you got to add insight. You got to have a hypothesis. You have to have a point of view. You got to test some things out, which accelerates the sales cycle, accelerates the conversation.
Yeah.
It compresses it. You don't have endless questions anymore. So people that have been taught consultative selling from the 90s, man, good luck. I'll tell you one technique. Can I tell you a technique your people can use right away?
Yeah, that's what we need. We all want the technique. Okay, the secret. Give us the secret.
Here's one secret. If you can't get a meeting, you can't get a meeting. You know, you call, but you can't get a meeting. You send an email, you can't get a meeting. Send an invite. Send a Microsoft Outlook invite with a time. Send an email saying, hey, I'm trying to reach out. I'll send you an Outlook invite. Please accept or suggest an alternative. And it's the path of least resistance. If the invite comes in and it's open on their calendar, they accept it. It pops up, it shows their calendar, it shows a slot, and they accept it. Or they say, no, I have a conflict, but I'll give this guy another time. So
sometimes, man, that's true. I almost wish people would do that to me because it's like all this back and forth. It's just like, let's just do the meeting. You know, I've already wasted 20 minutes trying to figure out the meeting.
Now, how do we do it fast? Right. So you can get meetings. And of course, if the person has a style, driving style or dominant style, whatever your thing is, you give them options. They like options. Give them power, perceived power.
I love it.
So there's lots of ways to do this.
I love it. That's a great tip, audience. Remember that one. I want to hear your feedback if that works. And you can go. don't blame me if it doesn't. You can go after
it. Oh, it does work. It does work.
Well, John, I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, we kind of were going back and forth on a couple things. If you had to sum up for the audience, kind of piece it together, models and beliefs and why it's so important as we wrap here today.
Well, it's like I said, if you wanted, you know, if you believe, if you subscribe to the theory that better trained people, better developed people get you better results, which mm-hmm. I obviously do, mm-hmm. then how do you get them to have better behaviors? Mm-hmm. How do you get them to change their behavior, which is what learning is about? Well, first to get to the behavior, you've got to go back to the mindset. Hmm. You don't start with the model. You start with the mindset and the belief system. Because of the overconfidence bias, which is in the book, because of a variety of factors, mm-hmm. people genuinely think they're better than they really are, objectively are, at things. They're better at forecasting. They're better at closing business. They're better at relationship building. We all think we're wildly better. So how do we help people see that maybe they're not exactly where they are on that? Well, that's how adult learning and great learning comes in, because you can have people self-discover it, recognize where they are, and then take off. Versus, for example, a 360 that says you're not any good. This is a much more powerful way, and the learner owns it, right? The learner, if you set it up well, they self-discover, and they go, yeah, I got to get better at this. So how do I get better at this now?
I love that. That is such a powerful point. Different, but I think very powerful. John, if someone wants to get a hold of you or learn a little more about kind of what you're doing over there at JM Reed Group, what's the best way to do that?
You can go to our website and there's a place to chat with somebody or click on. You can email me, john@jmreidgroup.com.
Okay.
You can call me if you want, 856-397-6157.
I love it.
You know, I'm passionate about what we do. And I do think we have a better mousetrap here. But I love, you know, the conversation. I've had clients say, let's have this debate. I'm like, let's have this debate.
Most importantly, got to be debating. I think that's part of the game. So,
and I think one other thing your listeners should know is, I know I'm going along probably for you, but, you know, we integrate with whatever you have. So yeah, it's always, yeah, for me, one client said to me, oh my God, you're so learner-centric.
Yeah, and I'm like, interesting.
You've done something that you like that works, and that's your objection handling model. I'm not going to do a new one.
Yeah,
I'm going to come alongside with what you're doing. But again, in the industry, you have to have their model, their stuff. But if you've got stuff working, we'll come alongside of it. It's all about the learner and what's going to help the learner get better.
I love it. Good. Well, hey, appreciate you taking the time. Interesting talk track, models, behaviors, beliefs, how they all fit together to create really strong sales teams. I love it. So, John, appreciate you joining. For the audience, remember, success is just one play away.
Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.